Hello, I'm Mark Stein, and my guest this hour is Spear Lancaster, who is a Libertarian candidate for governor. 410-662-8780, and Reed in Roland Park, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Reed.
I'd like to congratulate Mr. Lancaster on at least being very clear and easy to understand.
That's a little different than most people running for office, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, in this campaign especially. And I wanted to ask about that, aside from other questions about the Libertarian Party. We haven't heard anything. They haven't been included in any debates. I don't know whether they're frozen out or there's some other mechanism at work, but why aren't we hearing from any other points of view?
Well, Reed, I think you have to answer the people who control the venue or why we aren't hearing from it. We, of course, asked to be included on debates. I was actually on the stage at the War Memorial. They at least allowed me to get on the stage when they had the debate there. I called, we sent emails, everything, and they don't feel as though they have to share the limelight with libertarians, I guess.
Well, I remember some years ago watching some debates in the primaries in New Hampshire when everybody was included, yeah. And they were the liveliest debates of the whole election that year.
Is that when NATO was in them and like that?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah, NATO. I mean, there was a whole stage full of people, and some of them had no realistic chance maybe to go on and win, but they were there for those debates, and they were really lively debates because you had a lot of questions and points of view that were brought up. And whenever you bring it down to two, I mean, we've seen that in the presidential debates the last few years.
Right.
You get very formalized, really exchanging of statements, which aren't debates and aren't very informative.
You get a lot of posturing.
Thanks so much, Reed.
You get a lot of posturing and that type of thing. It's unfortunate. One of the reasons, people keep asking me, you know, what can we do to get people voting? What can we do to get people interested? I say, you know, it's kind of like going to a sporting event and having them post the scores before they play the event. We almost know in many of these elections, for example, in the state of Maryland, there's 45 senators in the Senate. 15 of them are totally unopposed. Another 15 of them have token oppositions. So basically, you as a voter really don't count. And you show it by not participating.
Rob, who is writes from John Carroll School, says, I'm a contemporary issues teacher at John Carroll School in Bel Air. We're studying the election in Maryland, and we're listening to your show with Mr. Lancaster. The students are listening now. We'd like some information from Mr. Lancaster on the following issues. 1, slot machines. 2, death penalty, especially with the recent arrest of the snipers. 3, gun control. 4, being omitted from debates. And of course, you just answered that one. And 5, what are the qualifications of your lieutenant governor? Thanks for having Mr. Lancaster on your show. We appreciate the opportunity to communicate with you. So first, slot machines.
Okay. Well, my campaign manager, who you met earlier, Mark, did a sneaky on me this past winter. He said, let's go by Delaware State Park. And I said, what do I want to go by Delaware State Park for? I've been to Vegas 75 times, just to go 2-3 times a year doing trade shows. But anyway, he insisted, so I did, and I was absolutely shocked to see how many people were there and just how huge that place was. And then we went out in the parking lot, and I rode up and down the aisles, and we counted 42% of the cars there that day were from Maryland. And tonight I'm going to go to Cumberland, and I'm going to stop at the West Virginia racetrack, and I assume it's going to be about the same. So the question is not whether we're going to have gambling. Marylanders are gambling. They get on buses every day to go to Atlantic City. They play the lotto. The question is what can we do to help the citizens? And I say, let's go ahead and bring the slot machines in a control basis. Let's go out and put it out for bid. I think, from what I've been told and what I know, that we could probably get $1.5 billion just for the rights to put these slot machines if we open it up. Now, one candidate that I'm running against doesn't want them, and the other candidate wants to keep it for, quote, our people, which is another code word for making sure that the right guys get the bid. I want an open public bid. I want total clarity in government. As far as the next thing...
Death penalty.
I am very leery of giving the government power, life and death over people without really, really, really strong procedures in place to keep it from being abused. There's no question about it. There's been thousands of people killed with the death penalty. And I don't know if it's necessary to put a person to death if we have them. We have these two people who just committed what can only be described as unbelievable events. And it's sad to think of the families and all. But are we going to achieve anything? Do we want retribution and revenge? Is that what we really want? Or do we want to try to create a society where we disavow violence? As you know, as a libertarian, there's only two things you really have to do to be a libertarian. Is you have to say that you will not initiate violence and you will not engage in fraud. And that's the law in Maryland, of course, is that we do have a death penalty. And the judge did, and the jury did, issue the death penalty. I would certainly have to uphold the law, but I would also tell you that I would look very, very close and hard to make sure that the person that had gotten the death penalty did get a completely fair trial and that his rights were respected.
Gun control? That's the next question from the high school students.
Well, gun control is an interesting thing because I ask people, do you have chair control or table control? A gun is an inanimate object. They don't jump out of drawers and shoot people. But the question I like to ask people, and I did it at University of Maryland last week with over 100 students in the room, I said, is there anybody in this room who does not believe that they have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Not one hand went up. And I said, good, we all think the same, that you do have a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and you have a right to protect your life and liberty with anything you can protect yourself with, as long as you don't go out and initiate violence against someone else. And I ask people, if I beat somebody in the head with a baseball bat and kill them, what do you charge me with? If I take and choke you to death, what do you charge me with? And if I shoot you, what do you charge me with? We've got to make the emphasis on not creating violence or not engaging in violence, and we've got to let people defend themselves. We've got people in this city who worked all their life, hard work, laboring people, who have three padlocks on their door at night because they're afraid they're going to be broken into and robbed.
And very quickly, the last question they had from high school students was, what are the qualifications of your lieutenant governor? And I say quick just because we have a lot of people who have just called in. I'd like to get them on the phone, on the air with us, but we run out of time.
I think my lieutenant governor is equally qualified to the current lieutenant governor. Perhaps maybe in some areas I would think more so.
410-662-8780. Alan Pikesville, you're on the air.
A question to Mr. Alexander, and thank you for taking
Lancaster.
My call.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent past, the British government privatized their railroad system. And within a year, there are a series of accidents on these privatized lines. Do you know why they occurred? How many occurred?
No, I don't. Do you know how many occurred? What the percentage of increase was?
I don't know.
Okay.
Neither do I,
so I can't really comment.
All right, Al, thanks so much. Let's go to the next caller. 410-662-8780. Albert, on your cell phone, you're on the air.
Yes. The question on the education policy.
Yep.
If you don't raise the money from society, and I came in on this a little bit late, so I apologize.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Guys, for that. If you don't raise the money from society, where do you get the money to pay for education of society's children? And it always pops up that, as far as teachers are concerned, these people just love to teach, which they do. Therefore, because they love to teach, we don't have to pay them anything. And that's a ridiculous assumption. And on the death penalty, I find it a real dichotomy that you are basically against the death penalty, but give people the right to bear arms so they can kill people in self-defense. Don't you find that somewhat of a dichotomy? And I'll just take your answer.
Albert.
Thank you, Albert.
Albert, you think I should not have a right to kill someone in self-defense?
I think he hung up.
Are you telling me that I shouldn't be able to kill someone, some criminal with a knife coming at me? I don't have a right to kill him? But let's get, you say, where are they going to get the money if government doesn't give them the money? Where do they get the money for food, Albert? If you can get money for food, why can't you get money for education? When Alexis de Tocqueville was writing one of the greatest books about American democracy in the 1840s, he was staggered that we had virtually no government in education like they did in Europe, and we had a literacy rate that was almost 95%. So what was going on? And I tell people the founding fathers were all homeschooled, and they were the greatest group of people. As a matter of fact, when I give out the Constitution, I write in a fly cover, this is the greatest political document ever written. And I'm going to give one to Mark right now with that little note in there. And those guys were all homeschooled. You act as if the only way you can do anything is through government. And the answer is that's not true. Now, you talked about teachers. What I would like to see is teachers be able to make as much money as they want and the principals to give them. The way it is now, it's not true. If you've got two teachers in the system and one is a new teacher with just a plain teacher certificate, they might get like $30,000. And if you've got someone that's been there for 15 years and has a PhD, they might get $90,000. But there's no correlation between the PhD and the 15 years and their efficacy. What I'm saying is let the principal decide and let the teachers work it out.
Well, one of the things that you have in the email just came in and said, arguing that teachers shouldn't receive high salaries, comparing teachers with waiters, okay. If Lancaster can bail himself out of that rhetorical hole, he's a billionaire politician and deserves to be governor.
Well, whoever wrote that in is absolutely right. That was not correct, and I didn't mean it, but I know that's exactly what I said. No, I'm not comparing teachers with waiters. As a matter of fact, I've got 9 family members which will probably beat me over the head when they hear this, but I didn't mean it that way. What I meant was that teachers should be able to get in a open system whatever the principals and the parents are willing to pay them, and good teachers should be paid. I made excellent money when I was a manufacturer's rep because I was efficient.
But does that mean that only teachers who teach the wealthy kids are going to get money that they can live on?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Why not? Because people will pay inordinate amounts of money to educate their children. It's one thing.
But if you're making $8 an hour, and let's say even you have a father and a mother in one family with 3 kids who live in the inner city, and one father and one parent's making $10 an hour, one's making $5 an hour, they work their tails off just to make sure their family's safe, like the Dawsons who were just murdered, then how are they going to afford a decent education? They can barely afford to take care of themselves.
The Constitution of Maryland, as I understand, has in it that it's the duty of the government to give everyone a...
That's right.
And what you would do is you would put the money up, but you wouldn't put it through a bureaucracy. You would do it through charter schools. And by the way, we got our first charter school ever. We're one of the few states that doesn't have a charter school provision. We got our first charter school in Frederick, Maryland a couple of weeks ago, and I was out there. And I was just absolutely astonished at the excitement with the kids and the parents and the teachers. It was just unbelievable. It was like a barn raising to watch the excitement. And you don't see that in the city schools. I've been in the city schools. You don't see that. But, yes, we would put up the money, and we should put up the money.
Sorry, you know the phone calling. I'm sorry, Spear. 410-662-8780. Carol, on your cell phone, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
I just
Carol.
Wanted to thank Mark Steiner for this terrific show. If it weren't for this, I would never have known the way this man feels. To talk about teachers not being paid, or being paid... Teachers never get paid what they're worth. And I can imagine the principals would be thrilled to have that added burden of deciding what each individual teacher makes. So I don't have a question, I have a comment, and I'm going to support Kathleen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I understand where Carol's coming from.
410-662-8780. Mary, on your cell phone, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
I just wanted to comment also on the whole thing with the teachers. First of all, I appreciate the fact that we get to hear his opinions, but I can tell you that it's made me realize that it's not for me to vote for that way. I taught for 13 years in Baltimore City Public Schools, and when I hear, I have no children, but when I hear him say that he wants people to sign a paper saying that they will not let their children go to any other school but public schools, that's like saying if you work for Pepsi, you're never allowed to buy Coke. And, I mean, some of the other issues have already been addressed, but it shows me that, again, somebody really doesn't understand what the teachers are all about. I support teachers 100%. I had to leave. I couldn't afford to do it anymore. but I love teaching, but I'm not going to do it for free. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, about 30 seconds, Spear, that's one thing you said I think has riled some folks here is your thoughts about education and paying teachers.
Well, I understand that, and I will be the first to admit that I probably didn't position it the way I really mean it. I think teachers play an absolute critical role in society, and I think education is to me is the key issue. If someone said to me, what are your top three issues? It's education, education, education. And I respect and understand the role of the teachers. I just think that we've got these bureaucracies that actually deny the teachers and deny the parents and deny the principals any say for the most part. And this is what I'm really talking about, and I apologize to anyone if I ever led them to think that teachers aren't important.
Spear Lancaster, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. It's been refreshing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our guest this hour is Spear Lancaster, whose name appears on the ballot November 5th as the Libertarian candidate for governor. Thanks again for being here.
Appreciate it.
The Mark Steiner Show is produced by Aaron Henkin. Our associate producer, director, and engineer is Drew Hamid. On the phones this hour, Yema Morgan. And I'm Mark Steiner for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. Take care.